A rabbi died not too long ago, a beloved rabbi, a learned rabbi. Such a mensch, let me tell you. And when he died, his soul ascended to the gates of heaven. But the gates of heaven were locked, so he rang the bell. What else could he do? He waited and waited and waited, and finally, an angel with a clipboard arrived. Sign here, please. He did. Thanks. We need to check a few things, the angel said as he turned and walked away. The rabbi waited and waited and waited. And after what seemed like an eternity, he heard the blast of shofars. The gates of heaven flew open, and an Israeli bus driver, decked out in his Eged uniform, covered in sunflower seeds and draped in more necklaces than Mr. T, drove through the gates at what seemed like 100 miles per hour. The rabbi was shocked that this guy got in so fast, while he, a rabbi no less, was kept waiting. So he rang the bell again. The angel returned. How can I help you? He said. The rabbi, in a frustrated voice, replied, Look, I understand that God works in mysterious ways, but how can it be that this schlub gets into heaven before me? Let me unpack it for you, the angel replied. What matters to us isn't what you do, but what you inspire others to do. You're a rabbi, we know this. But let's be real. During your services, some people pray, but most nod off. Or think about what they're going to do after they leave the synagogue, or what's on the table for Oneg. Am I right or am I right? Yes. The rabbi reluctantly nodded. The angel continued, but that Israeli bus driver, well, you better believe that every single time he got behind the wheel of a bus, everyone on board was praying. This morning, we're continuing to race like an Eged bus through our series on Paul's letter to the Romans. We've talked about how in chapter 1, Paul introduces himself humbly to the Messianic Jews and the Messianic Gentiles in Rome. He describes himself as a bondservant of Yeshua, the Son of God in power. And he greets the followers of Yeshua in Rome in first century Messianic Jewish fashion by blessing them with the words, Chesed v'shalom lachem, grace and peace to you. He then goes on to give thanks to Hashem for his brothers and sisters in Rome. And he tells them that he constantly remembers them in his prayers. He then shares his desire to strengthen them in the Lord, for he is a man with a mission to bring the Besorah, the good news of Yeshua, to the Gentile world. At the same time, Paul wanted them to know that the mission to the Jewish people remained a top priority. In light of Yeshua's example and Israel's election, the gospel remained first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. And this brings us to Romans chapter 1, verse 17, where Paul points the believers in Rome in the direction of the way of faith. He writes in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, For in it, that is the good news of Yeshua, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. Let's all say these words together. For in it, the good news of Yeshua, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. It is amazing how much Paul can pack into this little passage. An important question that we need to ask is, what does Paul mean by the expression dikaya sune theou, in Hebrew, tzidkot Elohim, the righteousness of God? In the world of New Testament studies, much debate surrounds this very question. If we take the word theou, God, to be a subjective genitive, do we all remember our English grammar? Then Paul is talking about a righteousness that describes God's character, that is, the good news of Yeshua. Yeshua himself reveals God's righteous nature, which is expressed in covenant faithfulness. But if we understand the word God to be an objective genitive, then Paul is talking about a righteousness that God graciously bestows. Thus, the good news of Yeshua reveals a righteousness that God imparts to human beings. Therefore, the NIV translation translates verse 17, a righteousness from God is revealed, rather than a righteousness of God. Which of these interpretations did Paul intend? Oh, we can turn that off right now. Which of these interpretations did Paul intend? The subjective genitive or the objective genitive? Good arguments can be made on both sides. My personal view is that we should not view it as an either or, but as a both and, with emphasis on the objective genitive. Paul seems to be talking about the righteousness of God being imparted to human beings as an expression of his covenant faithfulness. But I will leave that for you to decide as you sit around the Oneg tables after the service, making our own interpretive decisions after grappling with the range of possible options is part of what it means to be a student of God's word. Paul seems to be saying that our ability to experience the righteousness of God in an eschatological and a personal saving sense is directly related to a faith response to God. Paul goes on to say in verse 17 that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. Here Paul quotes from the Tanakh, from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, to support his view that faith is fundamental to walking in God's ways. It is a good reminder that Adonai has always cared about the heart and whether our hearts are filled with faith. Adonai was looking for faith and encouraging faith in human hearts during all the centuries leading up to the coming of the Messiah. And he has been looking for and encouraging faith in human hearts ever since. In our synagogue today, the Lord is calling all of us, you and you and you and me, all of us without exception, to grow in our faith so that we become people who are characterized by faith. For Paul, the way of God is the way of faith. Let me say that again. For Paul, the way of God is the way of faith. To walk with God is ek pisteos eis pistin. In Hebrew, me emunah el emunah. To walk with God is from faith to faith. That is what life with God is all about. It continues, it begins with faith. It continues with faith, and it never stops involving faith. Life with God is A to Z about faith. It starts with God's covenantal faithfulness, and it ends with human faithfulness. It is all about trusting God and faithfully responding to his word and to the leading of his spirit. Paul pointed the believers in Rome in the direction of the way of faith, But what does the way of faith involve? I would like to suggest for your consideration that the way of faith involves at least three aspects that Paul discusses in his letter to the Romans. First, faith is a gift from God. Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, he says, "I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." Here, Paul communicates that faith is not something that we can create or work up. We can't say, "Give me more faith, give me more faith, give me more faith, give me more faith," and suddenly faith rises. It's just not like that. Faith is a gift from God. It is something we receive from God. And everyone has a different measure of faith. A few days ago, on Christmas Eve, I went to the hospital to visit someone and noticed that a lot of people were walking around carrying candy canes. Some people had several candy canes. Other people had only one candy cane. And others didn't seem to have any candy canes at all. Where did all these candy canes come from? Well, when I walked over to the elevator, I saw Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus handing out candy canes. And I noticed that they had a whole basketful full of candy canes and were giving them out freely. How did they distribute them? They didn't throw them down the hall at the patients or drop them from the second floor balcony of the hospital on people's heads. If you wanted a candy cane, you had to walk up to Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus, open your hand, and they would drop them in. In the same way, faith is not something that the Lord just drops into our hearts from a distance. We have to draw near to Hashem. As the brother of Yeshua says in Yaakov, James chapter 4, verse 8, "Come near to God, and he will come near to you and give you a candy cane." No, it doesn't say that. I added that. As we draw closer to Hashem, like Abraham did, and seek to please him more and more, he will liberally fill our hearts with the gift of faith, which is more precious than candy canes. And this brings us to a second aspect of the way of faith that Paul discusses in his letter to the Romans. The way of faith leads to salvation. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says, "I am not ashamed of the good news of Yeshua, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who has faith, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile." What makes the gift of faith so precious is that when we have an abiding faith in our hearts that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of God in power, as Paul puts it, and we have done a 180 and decided to follow him, then we have entered the express lane of the way of faith, a lane that leads directly to the gates of heaven. When we have a saving faith, we are like that Israeli Eged bus driver that I mentioned at the beginning of this sermon. We know where we are going, and we can look forward to seeing the gates of heaven fly open before our very eyes. Yeshua said, "Anochi haderech," I am the way. He also said, "Lech acharai," follow me. When we are following Yeshua down the express lane of the kingdom of God, it is like the Lord has given us an easy pass that opens up all the gates. But getting on the express lane is only the beginning of our life of faith in Yeshua. As Paul said, our walk with God is from faith to faith. The one who is righteous will live by faith. Getting on the express lane begins the great adventure of faith, which brings us to a third aspect of the way of faith, that Paul mentions in his letter to the Romans. And that is, we are supposed to eat pizza with faith. Well, Paul doesn't quite put it that way, but I wanted to get the point across. That from Paul's perspective, everything we do in life, everything, from the big decisions to the little tasty ones, we should do in faith. The Shaliach, Paul, writes in Romans chapter 14, verses 22 through 23, "Blessed is the one who has no reason to condemn himself for what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin." What Paul is saying here is that the life of faith has to do with even the smallest decisions that we make. For example, if we are at the Cheesecake Factory and we know that the Lord wants us to cut back on sweets, but we go ahead and order that chocolate tower truffle cake, and we feel the guilt and doubts swirling around in us like whipped cream, then we are not walking by faith. By the way, there's supposed to be a picture of that chocolate cake. Oh, there we go. Okay. If we feel those doubts, we are not walking by faith. On the other hand, if we say, you can put it back up for just a moment. On the other hand, if we sense God's pleasure in our enjoyment of this delectable dessert, and we are able to give thanks for it, and can say a barucha, a blessing over it, and by the way, the traditional blessing for a chocolate cake is Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Borei Minei Mezonot, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has created various kinds of foods, including chocolate cake. If we can do all that, then bon appetit, or in Hebrew, betevon. Eat the chocolate cake in faith. Here's another example. If we are Messianic Jews with a covenantal responsibility to keep the Torah, or we are Messianic Gentiles who are called to be part of a synagogue community and to live out Jewish life, and we know that God wants us to avoid pepperoni pizza because it is made from pork, then it is an act of faith to order a cheese pizza or a pizza with vegetable toppings. Similarly, if someone is a Gentile Christian and they know that the Jerusalem Council decision in Acts 15 has exempted them from Jewish boundary markers of identity, like Israel's dietary laws, then as Gentile Christians, they can eat pepperoni pizza in faith. The point is that whether we eat the chocolate truffle cake or not, whether we eat the pepperoni pizza or not, we should do it all in what?
Faith.
Are we people of faith? Do we do everything that we do, from the big things to the little things, in faith? One of the litmus tests, according to Paul, of whether we are walking by faith is whether we have doubts about what we have approved. Or more positively stated, we should have an inward sense of assurance that what we have approved is approved by God, based on our understanding of his word and the leading of his Ruach HaKodesh, his Holy Spirit. Following the leading of the Spirit is essential to helping us live by faith and to avoid legalism. Paul feels so strongly about this principle of doing everything in faith that he can say in Romans chapter 14, verse 23, he says, "For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin." In other words, faith is the A through Z of our walk with God. Faith should always be present in all that we say and all that we do. Because in everything, we should be seeking to please God based on what he tells us in his word and what we hear him say to us through his Spirit. This morning, we have talked about Paul's exhortation to the Yeshua believers in Rome to pursue the way of faith, the life of faith, which is from faith to faith. We noted that faith is a gift from God, that faith in Yeshua causes the gates of heaven to fly open, and that every decision in our lives, no matter how big or how small, should be guided by our desire to please our Father in heaven, who wants us to walk by what? That's right, faith, and who is abounding in love and faithfulness.